Luke 11:44. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. When we think of unseen things that bring destruction, one of the stories, of course, from antiquity that comes down to us is the account of the Trojan horse. Something that people thought was something worth celebrating, something worth even bringing into their city. But in fact, inside of that horse, we know that there were soldiers who eventually led to the overthrow of that city. And what verse 44 teaches us is that if that sort of thing is true in this life, that there can be hidden killers, so to speak, how much more is it true in spiritual life? And this verse calls us to examine ourselves for areas in our own lives of spiritual death, spiritual disease that are infecting us and others, and to repent of those things. Repent of spiritual death that exists within your life. Because hypocrites really are like unmarked graves. They're like these graves, as it tells us, which are not seen. And the men who walk over them are not aware of them. It's describing hidden spiritual uncleanness, isn't it? Hidden spiritual uncleanness that results in death. And of course, remember that in the Old Testament and in the period of time when Christ is teaching here, for these Pharisees in particular, that there were rules about if you come into contact with a dead body, with a dead person, you're unclean. You're not fit to go into the temple and worship. And if you do go into the temple to worship after you're unclean, without taking time to clean up, you're to be cast out from the people. But these Pharisees and scribes, these hypocrites, are like someone who's actually dead, but not marked as dead, and other people come along and come into contact with this deadness without even recognizing it or knowing it. What happens is that this hidden spiritual uncleanness, and we can experience this, and we do experience this. It can look good on the surface. It can look ordinary on the surface. But underneath is death and destruction. And so underneath these Pharisees, underneath these scribes, actually were leading to uncleanness in the people around them, even though they looked good. And they were actually bringing disease and bringing death into the Christian or into the spiritual community that they inhabited. And people weren't aware that they were getting infected or being afflicted with this until it was too late, in essence. They were already weighed down with the hypocrisy and foolishness of the scribes and Pharisees. Right? Because if you're in the church at that point in time, and you want somebody to train you, somebody to disciple you, and maybe you're a godly young Christian, or godly young Jew, if you want to think in those terms, and you're saying, I really want to serve the Lord. Who can teach me best how to do that? You would have been inclined to look toward one of the scribes or Pharisees, one of these religious people. And in so doing, you were going to be taught not how to live for the Lord, but instead how to die. They were going to suck the spiritual life right out of you. That's what hypocrisy does. Looks good on the surface, but as it comes into contact with others, well, first of all, it looks good on the surface, but underneath is dead itself. But then as it comes into contact with others who might be alive, who might be clean and living for the Lord, living for holiness, it brings death and destruction into their lives as well. It sucks the spiritual life right out of them. So hypocrisy kills not only the hypocrite, but also kills others who he comes into contact with. In that regard, we can think of the spread of AIDS or other deadly diseases as they spread. People at times don't even know that they're infected. Sometimes our kids, I don't remember specific sicknesses that they've had, but you find out that actually the time when they're contagious is the time before they have any symptoms. And so in the meantime, you've exposed all sorts of other people to this terrible flu or whatever that you have, and you didn't even realize that you were exposing the other kids in the church, you know, to this thing that now is afflicting your family for weeks on end. Well, hypocrisy can be like that in some ways. It can be hidden, but even as it's hidden, it's working death, working destruction into the hypocrite himself, and also into others around him. And it's because of that destruction that hypocrisy brings that Christ here says, woe to those who are hypocrites and are bringing death and destruction into the camp of my people. Woe to them. And it's a pronunciation of damnation on them. One of the things I was in reflecting on sermons of the last couple Lord's Day evenings is I think that in many ways that part of what Christ does here is, yes, he does point out the absurdity of hypocrisy. There's some humorous side to hypocrisy, and we've chuckled about that a little bit over the last couple weeks. And there's some of that that's appropriate, because there is absurdity in what hypocrisy looks like when lived out. But we must not lose sight of, even with the absurdities, Christ here is pronouncing woes. He's saying, you're going to hell. You're facing everlasting destruction because you've brought death into the camp. Because you don't love God and instead are tithing of your herbs and spices. Because you want to show off your spirituality instead of exalting Christ, instead of worshiping God, you're going to hell. And so these woes that he's pronouncing are in fact very serious, because hypocrisy is very serious. What that means is then that there's a warning here. One of the warnings is specifically directed toward people in the Christian community who are higher profile. Because the higher your profile within the church, the more your hypocrisy can hurt and destroy the spiritual lives of others. So elders need to pay attention to that and listen up. Because you have a responsibility to the flock of God. You can think about Christian leaders. Think of some of the scholarly books. Some of the scholarly books that have been written about the Bible, but really written from an unbelieving vantage point. And these wise people who would appear to be wise and knowledgeable about the Scriptures have actually undermined the faith of new believers. We have to make sure that we're not bringing death into the congregation. But recognize also for all of you, especially in this regard, for those of you who are younger, many of you are here not specifically by your own choice, but because of your parents' choices for you. And you might be coming to church, going through the motions. You look fine on the surface. Other people look at you and say, you know, yeah, he's a good Christian boy. She's a good Christian girl. He's in church every week. She sings very nicely. You know, he seems to always have his Bible along with him. She seems to be willing to serve and to help out with the kids. But underneath, you can be full of death just as much as the scribes and Pharisees were full of death. And so recognize that hypocrisy can bring death to you, and then also can infect others around you as well. What do we do about that? Well, certainly, as we're going to talk about in a moment, we need to be searching our own hearts. But in addition to that, one of the things that we as a church need to always do, and we need to do individually as well, is to pray for protection. That God would protect us in His providence from people who would lead us down paths of spiritual deadness. People who would look good on the surface, who might influence us, who in fact are going to introduce deadness into our lives. So what we do then is we pray for protection. Second thing that you're called to do is to examine your life for practices that are hidden from others. Examine your life. Where are those areas of spiritual deadness that are within you? You can do that by asking and answering a couple questions. What wouldn't you want anyone else to know about you that you aren't working to change? What in your life are you not working to change? It's going to be this. This is the way I am. This is what the way I want to be. But you wouldn't want other people in the church to know is true about you. What do you have motivation to keep hidden from others? If we identify those things, we'll be on the start, at least, to identifying areas of death within us. It seems so clear oftentimes. We read church history, for instance, and it's so easy to pick out sins of our spiritual forefathers and prior generations and things that they believed or practiced that were so obviously and blatantly wrong. And we say, how could people have thought this way? How could people have lived this way? These are professing Christians. And yet the reality is that things that seem so obvious that infected them that they were unaware of, that there are things like that in the church today as well. Things that you and I do just as a matter of habit, a matter of course, that we don't think of as being something that we're doing wrong. We really do need to examine and think through, is this really right? We need to hold our lives up to the light of the Word of God. That's where normalcy is found for us, right? That's the standard. And we hold our lives up to the Word of God and our hearts up. We say, Lord, examine me and prove me, Lord. See if there's any wicked way in me. See if there's hypocrisy. See if there is death in me. And Lord, show me. Show me where deep down my thinking is sinful and brings death. Just think of some of the thought patterns that can be full of hypocrisy and death that can creep in our thinking. Intellectualism. It's a great danger in the Reformed Church to believe that we are saved not by faith alone, but to believe that we're saved by understanding that salvation is by faith alone. Notice the difference there. Right? There's a difference in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and understanding that people can be saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And there can be all sorts of other intellectualism that can creep in to our thinking that exalts our intellect and thinks that we're saved through our own thinking. There can be racism that can creep into the church. And certainly has creeped in and can creep into our own lives and we might think it's hidden from other people. It can lead to us having a wrong view of other saints. It can be pride. We can be overtaken with materialism, with a love for the things of this world, the things that this world has to offer. We can be hiding that underneath the surface, under a veneer of pleasantness. But really deep down, what we're living for are the things, can be the things of this world. We can fall into denominationalism and sectarianism. And I found out this week another form of this. We can fall into cyber sectarianism. I saw that word somewhere, so I had to go and look it up. It's actually referring to a extreme denominationalism that's controlled through internet communications. But what I was thinking of when I saw that word is the viewpoint that often I think we can have, or at least when I read these things, you get people online and they'll say extreme things. Things come out of their, I guess, out of their keyboard that I don't think most people would say in person about other people. So there can be viewpoints and beliefs that we have deep down that are unclean, that are death, that are deathly to the body of Christ, to bring infection that we try to keep hidden from others. There can also, of course, be not only thinking that's hidden, but actions and practices in our lives that are hidden. They can impact us. Think about, in that regard, the difficulty that's brought on our whole society, and certainly no less on the church, through pornography and the objectification of women, specifically through that plague on the church. It can be something that's hidden from other people. Right? We don't examine one another's internet habits week by week. But it can lead to a breakdown in relationships and deadness in the church. Certainly along with that too, our thinking and our actions, it can be just plain dislike and hatred of another person, other people in the church. And on the surface, we can be all flowery and warm and kind to people and, you know, all sweet to them. But then we get behind their back and our pride and our dislike of somebody else can in turn infect others, because we have ways when we don't like this person of, it's not on the surface, but we have ways of letting other people know just how difficult and how wrong this person is. So we can be infecting others with our deadly dislike, although on the surface we look nice. Well, we're called to to pray for protection from hypocrisy. We need to examine our own lives. And certainly as we examine our lives, we are called to repent. To repent of hypocrisy in our lives. And we repent knowing that our very life is at stake. That our very spiritual lives are at stake. And that hiding things under the surface does not hide anything from the Lord whatsoever. But He sees our hearts, and that He knows if your spiritual heart is a heart of life and vitality, or if hidden beneath the surface is a heart of death and disease. So you and I need to ask the good physician to diagnose our heart, to use His word to bring to light those areas of hypocrisy within us that are bringing death to us spiritually and to others spiritually as well, and to prescribe for us that which is good. The vivid illustration for us of this locally, of course, is the example that's played out over the last 6 months here locally. And 10 years ago, if we would have talked about who on the Penn State football family, who within the Penn State football family has a real heart for this community and really loves people, and really loves doing good deeds and charitable deeds. Some people would have thought of Joe Paterno, certainly, because of the money donated to build libraries and donated back to the campus. But probably most locals would have talked about Barry Sandusky, who left behind a successful coaching career in order to give his life to young people and disadvantaged young people. Isn't this wonderful? What the last months have shown is that what was going on the surface was in fact going on just on the surface. And that deep down in that man's heart and life, there was death and destruction and people being, not only was he being destroyed by his sin, which we believe he was, the inside of that man's heart has to be a mess, but other people being destroyed as well. But brothers and sisters, if we are sickened by the death and destruction and hypocrisy that Jerry Sandusky has brought into the lives of people, how much more should we be concerned when we bring spiritual hypocrisy that results in spiritual death and uncleanness being introduced into our families, into people who we're spiritually close to, into our congregation? If we're concerned about Sandusky's crime, which does have eternal implications, but predominantly has implications in this life. So he wasn't trying to train people in the Word of God, right? It's just more of a physical crime. I'm not saying he's not going to face judgment for what he's done, but how much more when we're spiritually impacting people for all of eternity? Should we take seriously our responsibility to not bring uncleanness and destruction and death into people's lives? Because we would all agree that the introduction of spiritual death and the hiding of spiritual death in our own lives, much less teaching it to others, is deserving of God's damnation. And so may God show us where those areas are in our own lives, where we are icing over hypocrisy, where we are hiding death and destruction from others. And may we turn and repent of those things, and by God's grace, find victory over hypocrisy. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that we, like the Pharisees and like the scribes, can have hearts that are full of spiritual death instead of having spiritual life and vitality, that hearts that are withered and dying. And that instead of confessing that and dealing with that, that we just continue on trying to pretend that we are good Christian people, trying to pretend that our lives are lived under your lordship. And Lord, we repent of that hypocrisy. And Lord, we ask that you might be so gracious as to show us where that hypocrisy is. Show us those things in our lives that we are keeping hidden. And Lord, give us the strength and the resolve to honor you by repenting and turning from those things, we pray. Make us agents of life in your world rather than agents of death, we pray. In Christ's name. Amen.